Begin the current daf, Maseches Avodah Zarah, daf Yud Alef. Begin in the top line of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the narrative of the previous daf, discussing prominent non-Jews who were closed, or in this case, converted to Yiddishkeit, to Judaism. As the Gemara says, Unkelis bar Kolonimus, Igayr, he converted. Now, Shadr Kaser gund de Remoya Abasre. So the Roman Caesar sent a troop of Roman soldiers after him to get him. Now, Mashchina Bakroi, however, he engaged them with verses of the Pesukim, and he showed them the beauty of Yiddishkeit, and Igayr, the troops themselves, and converted to Judaism. Hadashadu Gundad Remayachrina Basre. So then they sent another troop of Roman soldiers after him, and Amalu said to them, Loitamer Lebelemidi, don't get involved in dialogue with him at all. Now, Kabashakla Vazir, when they were taking him and going and taking him back to Rome, Amalu said to them, Emelucho Milsaba Amal, let me just tell you something unrelated. Don't worry, I'm not talking about Judaism. He said, let me just tell you something interesting. Nefura, nakut nura kame fefura. The regular way that it is that, and these are all types of leadership's roles, one higher than the other. So it's normal that this lower level, nefura, should carry the torch and hold it in front of the higher leader, that of pifura. And pifura la duchsa, and duchsa la hagmoina, hagmoina la kaima. Now, kaima, who's the highest of all leaders, who's the king, Mi nakat nur mikme inchi, would he hold the fire, the torch in front of any normal man? So Amalei Loi, they said to him, no. Meaning the lower leader makes sense to the mayor for the governor for the president. It makes sense in those levels. Now Amalei said to them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nakat nur kam Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the world and sustainer, he holds the fire in front of the Jewish people. That's what it says the pasuk in Shemais. It says, Vashem hoylich lefneim yoimam v'goyim. Hashem went in front of the Jewish people in the daytime. And as the Pasuk says, that there was, and v'layla ba'amud eish lahar lehem. And at nighttime, he went with a pillar of fire to light the way for the Jewish people. So when they heard that understanding, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the Jewish people, Igayr Kula, they all converted to Yiddishkeit. So Hadashah de Gunda Achrina Abbasu. Then they sent another troop of Roman soldiers after him. And Namaluhi said to them, don't get involved in any dialogue. Forget about just in religion, in theology. Don't get involved in any conversation with him. Now, Kinakti Levazi, when they grabbed him, they were taken him back to Rome. Chaza Mezuzta de Mantra Apisra. He saw a mezuzah that was there by the entryway of the door. Aisiv Yodi Allah. He put his hand on it, as some texts have it, that he laughed. And they said to him, why are you laughing? Or as Argirza has it, Vamlui said to them, my hi, what's this? So Amalei, they said to him, Emelanat, you tell us, we don't know what this is on the doorpost. Amalui said to them, in Hagish Alaylam, the normative way it is in the world, is Melech Basav Adam Yeshem Mibifnim. A flesh and blood king sits on the inside, Vavadav Misham Raisim Mimachutz, and his servants safeguard and protect him on the outside. Vilo Kadosh Baruch Hu, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Avadav Mibifnim, his servants are in the inside, Vahu Misham Raisim Mimachutz, and he's safeguarding them on the outside. Shlomo says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, which is what the mezuzah represents, which is Hashem, his Torah, on the outside, like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem yishmer tzeis chviyach, Hashem safeguards when you go out and when you come in, me'at v'ad olam, from here on forever. So Igari, they converted, and Sule Shadda Basre, then the Caesar never sent any more troops after Uncleus to try to bring him back to Rome. Now going back to what we spoke about in the previous staff regarding the relationship of Antoninus and Rebbe, the Roman Caesar and the Jewish leader, the Pasuk in Bereishis says, Vayem Hashem La, that Hashem said to Rivka, that through the Bezdin of Shem, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, there are two nations in your womb. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Merav says, Al Tikri Goyim, don't read it that there were nations, which refers to Yaakov and Esav, who were in her womb, Eligayim, because that's how it's written with two yuds, although we pronounce it as Goyim. Goyim means the proud ones, the ones who, like from a term of Gaiva, Ze Antoninus v'Rebbe, this refers to Antoninus who comes from Esav and Rebbe who comes from Yaakov, as we find that they were pride people, meaning that they had opulence. Shlei Paskum al Shulchan, that it didn't leave their tables, Loi Chazeres, not lettuce, Vli Kishas, not cucumber, Vli Tznoin, not radish, meaning they never failed to have this on their table. Loi B'Mezachama, it wasn't missing in the summer months, Vli B'Mezach Shom, not in the winter months, where sometimes it's difficult to get something out of season. No, they always had whatever they needed. The Amma Malik, the master says, the reason why one would have these vegetables on their table is because Tznoin Mechatech Eichel, the radish helps cut down the food, Chazeres Mehapech Meichel, the lettuce helps turn over the food, which both of these processes help for digestion, and kishus marchiv ma'ayim, the cucumbers expands the intestines opening room for digestion. On this last point, the Gemara asked, but Vatan Be Rishmal, but it's taught in the Brice of Shiva Rishmal, that Lama Nikrishman Kishuin, why a cucumber is called Kishuin? And that's because Mipnei Shekashin, Legufe Shaladim Kacharav, is because it's harsh to the body of a person like swords. So how can you say that it's beneficial? So the Gemara, like, Kash, not difficult, Habaravavi. The Brice of Rabbi Shmuel was talking about when the large cucumbers, those are harmful. Habazutri, this that we said that they're beneficial, that they expand the intestines, is talking about by the small cucumbers. And therefore, that's what the Pasuk was referring to. Shnei Geyim Bevitnech, again, as we said, the two great leaders of both nations, which Antoninus himself was subservient to Rabbi. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, regarding the different holidays that are forbidden to do business and other things 3 days before with the idolaters, Ayim Haleda, the day, the birthday, V'yam Misa, and the day of death of the king. Now, the Chum differentiated, and they said, when there's a sreifa, as we'll explain later on, when they would burn the utensils of the king, that's a type of death. When they celebrate that every year, it's significant to them that they serve as Avodah Zarah, and then it would be forbidden. But if they didn't burn the stuff, even though it's the anniversary of the king's death, then that's not problematic to do business with them. Now, on that, as the Gemara, Machlal de Remeir Sabah, so the inference is the Remeir holds, that Leishno Misa Shish B'Sreifa, that there's no difference, as he doesn't differentiate, between the death of the king that they burnt his stuff, Leishno Misa She'im B'Sreifa, it doesn't make a difference the death that they didn't burn his stuff, Palchi B'Alav Tzkechav, either way, they're going to make a holiday that's permanent through the reign of his son, who took the place of his father, that they're going to go ahead and celebrate with their idol. And that's why it's forbidden. Now, Alma, so we see from the fact that Remei did not make a contingent on the burning, which is considered a significant ceremony. So we see that Sreif Alav Chukahi, that he holds, that the burning procession is not one of the idolatrous practices. And that's why it's not significant to define it if it's going to be the death as a idolatrous holiday or not. Now, but then this says the Gemara Machlal de Rabban, the inference is the Rabbanan that do make a contingent on if there's a sreif or not. That Savri, obviously, they hold a sreif a chukahi, that the burning is the part of the idolatrous practices, and that's why it's contingent. If there was a sreifa, then it's problematic. If not, not. On that, as the Gemara Bavatanya, when the Braisa that sreifan al malachim, now malach is for Jewish kings, we burn their stuff when they die, which is considered type of a worthy practice. And v'leim darche emori, that's not infringing on the prohibition of going in the paths of the Amorites, where that would be problematic if it would be just like the Amorim do, like the non-Jews do, as the Pasuk says, v'leim chav gimel le'sasek ha'maseh, not allowed to do as their practices. Now, on that, as the Gemara, but v'ichukihi, if the burning of the king's stuff after he dies is considered one of the idolatrous practices, like we said according to Rabbanan, Sanan Hechasafina said, how do we do that? Voksevit, the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to go in the statutes of the non-Jews, of the idolaters. And if it's considered one of the chukim, like we said seemingly from the Pinyin Rabbanan, how do we do it for the Jewish kings? So Elrath says, the Gemara, no, the Kulam is straight for the not only the Meir, but even the Rabbanan agree that the burning procession, the procedure, is not part of their idolatrous practice. Ella, rather, why do the Rabbanan make a contingent on the burning? Chashivusahi. It's symptomatic. The king that they burn his stuff, they're showing that his death is obviously significant to them. And that's why they're burning his stuff. V'hocha b'hocha m'hocha, and therefore this is what they're disagreeing about. Remeir Sava, he holds, Loishna Misa Sheish B'Sreifa, it doesn't make a difference if the death of the king had the burning procedure. V'loishna Misa She'im B'Sreifa, if it didn't have the burning procedure. Either way, Palchi B'Alav Tzkechavim, still they're going to worship that day for their deity on the day that their king had died. In contrast, Rabbanan Sabi, they hold, no, Misa Shish B'Sreifa, if it's a death that they burn his stuff, Chashiv L'Hu, obviously considered a significant day, and a significant king, U'Polchaban, therefore that day they're going to go and worship their deity. And therefore 3 days before that's going to be forbidden. V'Shem B'Sreifa, Le Chashiv V'Le Polchaban, but if they didn't do a burning, they obviously don't consider this king so significant, and therefore the day not so significant that he died, and therefore that's not going to be a day that they're going to worship their deity, and therefore that's not problematic, according to Rabbanan, to do business with them 3 days before that day of the death of that king. Now, Gufa, we quoted before, which now we conclude that statement, Seifin Alam Alachim, that for the Jewish kings we do burn their stuff, which is considered some type of a significant procedure to show, like, okay, no one could touch these things, this is like, show this person was a very high individual. Ve'emer mishum darkei Emorim, there's no problem of considering this as the ways of the practices of the Emorim. Shemek says the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that Yirmiyah said to Tzidkiyahu, B'shalom Thomas, who was the king of the Jewish people, in peace you're going to die, over Misrafis of Esecha, Malachim Agoyim, and in the burnings of your fathers, the kings, like they had their stuff burned, so too are your stuff going to be burned. So you see that this is a practice that is done even for Jewish kings. And moreover, Kashem Shasarfan Amalachim, just like we burn the stuff of kings, Kach Sarfan Al Nasim, so do we burn the stuff of other leaders, like Anasi. Now, Umahim Sarfan Amalachim, what type of stuff do we burn of the kings? Their mitasin, Biklay Tashmishan, it's their beds and their utensils that they use. Now, Umaisa Shemesh Ramgulil Hazak, there was an incident where when Ramgulil the elder passed away, Vesarf Allah Unkelis Agar, we mentioned that Unkelis the convert, burnt on him. Shivim mana tsuri, 70 tari mana, which sounds like now at this point of the Gemara, that actual money is what he burnt. Now, the tsuri is the type of weight of this place called tsur, which is that mana is 25 slam, and the sela is 4 dinar, and the dinar is the weight of a Constantinopolitan gold coin. And that's how much, an exorbitant amount of money that he burnt as the sign of when the king dies to burn all those stuff. But you said, what do we burn when the king dies? Or the leader, the nasi, like Ramlil HaZakan, is mitastam eklitash mishan, is his bed and his utensils. So what's he burning money? Ema rather says the Gemara, bishivim mana tzuri. He burned the klitash mishan of Ramlil HaZakan that was worth 70 mana, but not the money itself. But nothing else do we cause a loss to. The only thing we burn and we lose are his clay tashmishin, are the utensils that he actually used. But when the Braisa, it says, we uproot an animal, as we'll shortly explain, the tendons, which are by its hooves, by the hak, we uproot that and we cut it off because of the death of a king. And there's no problem of being in the darkei mari. So you see that there are other things that we ruin, not just his bed and his clay tashmishin, but even just an animal. On that, Amr Papi says, no. Sus Shirachav, it's referring to the horse that he would ride, which is considered Klei Tashmishai, the utensils, the tools that he would use. On that, the Gemara asks, Ubehemetar Eloi, but a kosher animal then not? Because a whole horse that he rides, fine. That's a non-kosher animal. Are you telling me that, but we don't ruin, let's say, a kosher animal, which essentially that's not Klei Tashmishav? But Ritani, the Braisa, Ikoshish, Betrefa, a type of Ikor, by ripping off a part of the limb of the animal, that's going to cause the animal to become a Trefa, that it'll get a mortal defect. Also, it's forbidden to do that. Even though, ultimately, we're not going to have any benefit from this animal anyway, it's still forbidden to cause an animal actively to become a trefa. But v'sheima trefa mutter, if you're going to do something to the animal that's going to injure it and damage it, that's not going to cause it to become a trefa, well, that's permitted to be done. And says the Braisa, v'ezu ikor sheima trefa, what type of ikor of uprooting the animal, a part of it that's not going to cause it to be a trefa? As you continue to Medbe, is that's Hamanasha, that's someone that uproots and cuts off Parsiseha, the hooves of its 2 feet, Minhar Kuvu Ulamata, from the hak, which is a part of the animal between the ankle and the knee, and downward, but from the Arkuva and upwards, that would make the animal into a trefa. But one thing we see from this halacha is from the fact that it's prohibited to make the animal into a trefa, obviously we're talking about a kosher animal, because that's only applicable to a kosher animal where it's permitted to eat, but then when you make it into treva, then it's like a non-kosher food item. Now, the problem is, where could we say, as we explained before, that a kosher animal is klei tashmishei, a horse, we could say he rides, but he's not riding on a cow. How could we make a kosher animal into klei tashmishei? Well, that says the Gemara, Targum Rav Papa, he interprets as toma be'egla ha-meshechis be'krein, by a calf, by a cow that's pulling the wagon that the king sits on, that's considered klei tashmishav, and therefore that would be appropriate to like burn. And in this case, you do ikur, you can't make it into a trefa, but you cut off from beneath the hak by like the knee, ankle part of the animal, and that would qualify for this halacha of serfin amalachim, which would not make it into a trefa, but yes, it has to be either his bed or one of his klei tashmishav. Now the Mishnah said, in contrast to all the categories we spoke about before, which were communal holidays, then there are certain things that are only for that person forbidden to do business and only on that day, not 3 days before and not for other people. And they are Yom Teglachas Akonai, the day when he cuts his beard, and as the Mishnah continues, which is the focus of the next question, Ubli Rusai, which is a certain ponytail that he would leave, besides all the other hair on his head that he would cut off, when he cuts that, that's considered a holiday for that person, for his deity, and you can't do business with that person on that day. Now, Yiboyler, the following question, Hei Chikitoni, how do we read the words of the Mishnah? When it says, Yom Teglacha Zekanai Ubli Risai, do you read it, Yom Teglacha Zekanai V'Hanochas Ubli Risai? Do you say it's the day when he cuts off his beard? And that also, moreover, on that day, he specifically left that pony. What does that mean? Meaning, he's cutting his beard, and then he shaves his head around that pony, leaving that pony, for the utility of that when it'll, in some months' time from now, he'll have this once a year annual that he cuts off the pony ceremony. So he's doing two things, essentially. He's cutting off his beard, and he's also leaving the pony. Oidima, or maybe no, the way you read the Mishnah is it's talking about two different things. Yom Teglach HaZekana, it's the day when he cuts off his beard. Or, as if the word Yom Teglachas was going also on, V'havaris b'lirisai, and the cutting off of his pony. Meaning, at the end of the year, when he cuts off only the pony, that also is considered a holiday, which is forbidden to do business with him. Says the Gemara, Tashema, come in here, the Tanya Tavayu, we have two different brises that are not near each other, which says both of these are both valid holidays for them, which is forbidden to do business with them. One brice it says Yom Teglach HaZekanai V'Hanochas Bli Risai. He cuts off his beard and he cuts his hair besides the pony, leaving the pony, which is an element towards idolatry. That's a happy moment for him where he serves his deity. And another brice it says Yom Teglach HaZekanai V'Havaris Bli Risai. The day when he cuts his beard or the day that he cuts his pony, either one of those, it will be valid as a holiday, which is forbidden to do business with that idolater. Now, Amar Yehuda Meshmuel, he says that actually Oid, there's another holiday Acheres, a different one, that Yeshlem Baraimi that they have in Rome for the Romans, which wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. What is that? Achas l'shivim shana mevi'in adim shalom. Once every 70 years, the Romans take a complete intact person, which is supposed to represent Esav, which the Romans come from, u'markivin oisa al adim chigra, and they have him ride on top of the shoulders of a lame person, which is supposed to represent Yaakov, who, as the Pasuk says, was tzelei al yirecha, was limping on his thigh. In other words, what they're illustrating over here is that Esav is on top, is still ruled over Jacob, over the Jewish people. Now, the person on the top, they would clothe them with the clothing of Adam Arishan, which were, like the Pasuk says, the Bigdei Chamudais, the desirable garments that Esav had, which was what Yaakov wore when he was stole the brachas. And they would put on his head karkifle shel Rabbi Shmuel, the skin of the face of Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, who was from those of the Harugi Malchus, those who were murdered by the Romans. And since he was so beautiful, the daughter of the Caesar lusted after him and asked her father to peel off the skin of his face and maintain it in Afar Simon, which Rashi actually points out was still in the Roman Geniza, it was still in the treasury houses of Rome, and they would put it on top of the head of the one who was riding on top, who was representing Esav. And v'talale b'tzavrei maskel reish zuz defiza, and they would hang on his neck 200 zuz worth of pisa, which is a very precious gem, which is almost not found in the world. U'mechapenes ha'shvokim be'inach, and they would cover the marketplace with this precious gem called einach. U'machrizin l'fonim, they would call out in front of him, sach, the calculation of kiri, of the end, is pilaster, meaning the calculation of the end is a lie, which Yaakov had prophesied when he called his sons and said, I'm going to tell you about Achas Hayom, the end of days, which ultimately the Jewish people are going to be redeemed, unless say the Romans that is a lie. And as they illustrate this, Ahu de Marana, the brother of our master, meaning the brother of our master Esav, Zaifana, he's in general a liar, where he tricked Esav and he thought he's going to take the blessings to be Gvir Le'echav, like the Pasuk says, to be a lord over his brothers. And here we see that he's not. The Romans are the leaders. So they said, the chami chami, whoever sees the joy that we're doing right now will see it. Udolei chami leicham, whoever's not seeing it will not see it ever again, because it's not going to be done, this procession, until for another 70 years. And they continued, and it says, mayahani l'ramo b'ramusa, what did the tricker help with his tricks? Meaning, referring to Yaakov, that tricked Esav to take the brachas. And that this forger with all his forgery means, say, the Jewish people, Yaakov was not successful, we're the leaders. But they would conclude as follows. Vayla Dain, woe to this one, meaning Esav was riding in the top. Kad Yaakov Dain, when Yaakov gets up, then that's the end of Rome of Edom. Now, Amar Vashi says, Chshilin Piyam L'Risham, the words of the mouth of these wicked Romans actually causes their own stumbling. Because if they would have said Zayafna Achud Demaran, if they would have said the words in that order, that a a forgery is the brother of our master, so could they come? Then it would be like they're trying to say, which would be saying bad about Yaakov. But Hashad, I mean, now that they say that brother Dimarana Zayafna of our master is a forger, they're essentially reading it that there's the brother of Marana Gufa Zayafna, the brother of our master who is himself a forger. So therefore, they're not even saying in the right way. They're actually saying bad about themselves, about Esau himself. Now, so the Gemara asks, so this that Shmuel said, that there's another Roman holiday. So why didn't our Tana mention that as one of the holidays forbidden to do business with them and for 3 days before? So the Gemara, the Tana of our Mishnah only taught those Roman holidays that are every single year. That's which not every single year, like in this case, only every 7 years, that the Tana didn't count. Now, the Gemara continues that Hani, these days of the holidays that our Mishnah mentioned, what's called the Fnei Eidehen, that was only prohibitions for the Remoi, for the Romans. But Ude Parsoimai, what are the Persian holidays of their idols that's forbidden to do business with them? So as the Gemara, the Matardi, the Turiski, Maranki, Umaharoin, I mean, these are the names of the holidays that are permanent every single year by the Persians. So as the Gemara, Hani de Parsoi Dramoi, so that's from the Persians and the Romans. De Bavloi Mai, what's the Babylonian pagan holidays? The Maharanki, Vaknise, Vachanune, Ve'esab Adar, and that which is on the 10th of Adar. Now, Amrav Chanan Bar Chizda Amarav, Amrilid, some say Amrav Chanan Bar Rav Amarav, Chamisha Bate Evit Kechavim Kavuinhe. There are five houses of idol worship that are permanent. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain the meaning. It's permanent the whole entire year. Every single day of the year, they serve and they make a holiday for their idol, and they serve sacrifice, and therefore, essentially, it's forbidden to ever do business with them. And Elohim, they are Beis Baal Babavel, Beis Nevoi Bekursi, Tarasa, which is the name of an idol, Shebe Mafag, which is the name of the city, Tzrifa Shebe Ashkelon, and Nishra Shebe Ravia, that's in Arabia. Now, Kias Rav Dima, when he came, he said, Hoisif Alein, they added on another one, two, Yerid Shebe Ein Bechi, the fear that's in Ein Bechi, and Nitvacha Shebe Akoi. Now, Ikadami, those that say it was Nitfura Shebe Akoi, Akoi, the name of a place in Eretz Yisrael, which is, refers to Nitfura, which is another house of idol worship that's every single day. Now, Rav Dimim Nardom, Asni Ipcha, he taught it actually the other way. There was Yerid Shebe Akoi, the fear in Akoi, and Nitvacha Shebe Ein Bechi, which are permanent houses of idol worship. Now, Amali Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chizda, he says, my Kavunin, which we already explained, but the Gemara asks it now, it says, what does it mean that these five houses or more are permanent houses of idol worship? Amalei, so he said to him, and Rav Chizda responded to Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chizda, says, Hachi Amar Avu De'imach, this is what the father of your mother said, which was Rav Chizda's father-in-law, Kavuin Hein La'olam Tadira. They're permanent, meaning that they're always constant, Kula Shata Pachalu, the entire year, they're always serving their God, their deity, and therefore every single day would be forbidden to do business with them. Now, however, in spite of all this, Amar Shmuel, he says, B'goylo, however, in exile, in the diaspora, Eina Asa Elo Yem Idem Bolvad. It's only forbidden to do business with the non-Jews, although we said in our Mishnah, it's 3 days before, and some say 3 days after, it's only going to be forbidden the day of the holiday itself. Now, the reason for that is because, A, we can't hold back from doing business with them so many days, because we dwell amongst the idol worshippers, and our whole sustenance, our livelihood comes from them. And moreover, it's because we're afraid of them. If we don't do business with them so long, that it's going to be danger for the Jewish people. Now that is the Gemara, B'yim Eidim Nami Miyasa, but is it true that even the day of the holiday itself is still forbidden in the Goyla, in exile? But Rabbi Yehuda, Shorelel Rav Breino Lezvuni Chamra, Rabbi Yehuda permitted to Rav Breino to either buy or sell wine, and Rav Gidl Lezvuni Chitin to buy or to sell wheat. B'chagsa D'tayi, the holiday of the merchants, which was once a year, that all the merchants of the city would get together, eat and drink, and they would celebrate for the intentions of their deity for a certain one. And yet, on that day, he permitted them to do business. So that seems like the even Yom Eidim is mutter. This is Gemara. No, Shani Chag said the Tai. No, the merchant's holiday is different. To like Kavi, it's not so permanent because they're not so concerned if it just happens if they don't do it every single year. So that takes it a notch down. It's not such a pagan holiday, and therefore you could do business even on them. But one of the regular permanent holidays are forbidden at least to do Yom Eidim, but would be permitted the 3 days before. Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, qualifying this halacha of who is it forbidden to do business with on the day of that holiday. Ir sheyesh ba'avodas kechavim, a city that has an idol inside of it. In other words, that it's the holiday for the people of that city, for the idol that they serve in that city. Says the Mishnah, chutz lamutar. then it's permitted to do business with those who dwell outside the city who are not drawn after the idol of the city, because that's the custom. Meaning these people serve this idol and these people serve this idol, and their holiday is one day and their holiday is a different day. So the ones outside the city you could do business with. So to hayachutzulavitzkechavim. So let's say the people outside the city, that was the day that they serve their deity. So teichalamuta, the people inside the city are permitted because they don't serve that same deity, they serve a different one, and they're permitted. Another halacha says the Mishnah, Mao leilich l'sham. What's halacha to go to that city on the day when they have their pagan holiday, when they serve their deity? Obviously not to do business, but just to go talk with one of the people of the city. So says the Mishnah, depends. Bizman shaderech miyuchedes leisamakam, if that road goes only to that place and doesn't go to any other city, so that path is going just to that city, then us and then forbidden to go there because of suspicion, because it looks like he's going. Everyone, there's a holiday, that's what everyone's doing over there. It looks like he's going to serve that avodah zarah. But if it's possible to go somewhere else, meaning that this road, this highway goes through the city to another city, then mutter then is permitted because whoever sees says he's going to a different place. Now the Gemara asks and qualifies this that was saying that if you have a city and those on the outside of the city, that each one is independent and it's not going to make the other one forbidden. So hechadami chutzala. How do we qualify what's outside the city? In other words, how far does that marketplace, how far does that marketplace or area outside the city have to be that it'd be permitted to do business with the settlers over there, even though the people right there in the city are having their holiday on that day? So Amr b'Shimon ben Lakish m'Shimon b'Chanina says k'goy natluza. It would be, for example, like the animal marketplace Shal Aza, which was a Philistine city, which they had avodah zarah over there, and outside was a settlement very close to the city, even though it's so close. But it's outside, and therefore that's considered independent, and since they don't serve necessarily that avodah zarah, it would be permitted to do business with them on the outside, even though the holiday is right there in the city itself. Vigadami, those who say that, he asked him the question. He said, Atluza shal Aza, the market, the animal marketplace of Aza, which is very close to the city. Ma, what's the halacha? Is permitted the halacha, the Mishnah, as chutzla or not? Madam Allah, after Reb Chanina responded to him, he says, Lo yalachta letzur miyamecha? Did you never go to Tzur, which is a city that Jews and non-Jews live in that city? V'ri'isi Yisrael v'evit kachavim, and didn't you ever see that in that city where there's Jews and non-Jews, and a Jew and a non-Jew, as we continue on top of Yud Bezim and Aleph, sheshavsu shtei kederes, that they place their two pots, shvis is the term of when you put a pot by the fire on top of the stove, that al gabi kira achas, they put their two pots on one oven. And Acham were not concerned, even though the permitted pot of kosher food is right next to the prohibited pot of non-kosher food. So therefore, Reb Chanina says the same thing over here. Even though the people of the city, which is forbidden, are so close to the people that are right outside the city, but it's, since it's not the day that they serve their idol, therefore they're not concerned. And therefore it could be so close that even like two pots here, but since they're two individual pots, since they're not part of the city, it's still going to be permitted to do business with them right there on the outside, even though in the inside they're doing avodah zarah and this is the day of their holiday, which the Gemara in the next daf will qualify exactly the exact parameters of this comparison between the two pots and this halacha of ha'ir v'chutzalem.